Got a little, maybe we could call it a quiz this morning, but I'm just going to read off, and it's going to be on the screen as well. I'm going to read off three pieces, and you got to tell me what there are pieces to. Okay? I think the first one is going to be rather easy. Lock, stock, and barrel. A gun. Yeah, right. It's a lock, stock, and barrel. That's the pieces of a gun. Okay, here's the second one. Blade, shank, and handle. It's actually a screwdriver. That's the identified pieces of a screwdriver. Is the blade, shank, and a knife. How about the tip, barrel, and clip? See, you're thinking hunting season. See, that's what, tip, barrel, clip. That's a pen. Yeah, that's the three pieces of the pen. Okay, here goes the next one. The case, the bladder, the air. Okay, polka people are grateful you said accordion. So, yeah, it's a football. It's the case, the bladder in the air, okay? How about the next one? The caliper, the rotor, the pads. Yeah, vehicle brakes. How about this one? The plunger, the barrel, the tip. Syringe. Yeah, the nurse said a syringe. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, yeah, that's a syringe. How about the crown, the trunk, the roots? A tree. Yeah, that's I thought this might be easier than it is, apparently. So, the crown is the top of the parts of the tree, the leaves and the branches, and then the trunk, and obviously the roots are the bottom parts of the tree. How about the final one here? The face, the claw, the handle. It is a hammer. You know, we identify things as a hammer. We don't say, hey, hand me that face, claw, handle. You know, or hand me that crown, or you know, go ahead and cut that up for that crown, trunk, and roots for firewood, or the caliper, the rotor, the pads. We see the brakes on the vehicle. We call it the parts, the pieces make up a whole, and we call it by the whole. It's a hammer, or a screwdriver, or a football. It's made up of pieces, but we call it by the whole. And with those pieces combined together makes something that's a whole. And the peace that God has given us is the same way. The peace is made up of pieces. So the pieces of peace, the peace is packed with pieces. And so we're going to unpack those pieces this morning and see what God is saying about the peace, which we identify as a whole, but it has multiple parts to the peace that God has for us, that God wants to give us, that is on our table to be able to eat. It's part of that table that he has prepared before the enemy, in the presence of our enemy, that we can belly up to and partake of the peace that God has for us. But what is it? What are the pieces of the peace? And as we experience the pieces of peace, then we will know peace more fully. And we talk about the peace. We talk about the peace that God wants to give us, that God has given us. And we read this passage of scripture around Christmas time. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Amen. Peace. That word peace means this. It means a state of stillness. Push the button, please. A state of stillness. That peace that he's talking about, the shalom of the Old Testament, and the arene is in the New Testament, but they're comparable to each other. They mean the same thing. The peace that God wants to give us, the stillness, the state of stillness that he has there for us. He said the state of stillness are going to be upon all men on whom his favor rests. And exempt from the havoc of war. The harmony between individuals, the security and the safety and the satisfaction. That's the definition of the word peace. That's the peace that he wants. We haven't talked about how we receive that peace or how it comes in its pieces, but that's what God wants us to have. That's what's on the table. That's what they're proclaiming from the heavenlies. The peace on men on whom his favor rests. Peace to men on whom his favor rests. The state of stillness, the exemption from the havoc of war, the harmony between individuals, and the security and the safety and the satisfaction on whom his favor rests. The peace of God. We talked last week about the Prince of Peace, and I proclaimed during part of that message, we're going to talk more about that next week. This is next week. We're going to talk more about that peace, that type of peace, that stillness. And the havoc of war, not the freedom from war, but the freedom from the havoc of war. And the harmony and the security and the safety and the satisfaction that God has in store for us. There are three pieces of peace. There are three pieces of peace. The first is the peace with God. The first piece of peace is the peace with God. Are you with me this morning? The first thing he said, I want you to have is peace with me. I want you to have a stillness with me. I want you to stop warring against me. It might be the greatest war of all times is mankind declaring war on God. And we're up against God. God says, I don't want to be at war with you. I want to be at peace with you. I don't want to have you experience the havoc of war against me and you. I want you to experience a stillness. I want you to experience a harmony. Push the button, please. A harmony with me. I want this peace with you, this stillness, this freedom from this havoc of war. I don't want you to experience the havoc of war with you and me first in the harmony. I want you to be in tune with me. I want to be in harmony with or in agreeance with you and me, to be this overwhelming agreeance between you and me. I want you to have this security and this safety and this satisfaction. I want you to be at peace with me. But we don't come pre-programmed with that peace. Colossians says this, this includes you. You were once so far away from God, you were his enemies. He's talking to the church there. He's talking to people who have peace with God. But he said at one time, you were so far away from God that you were his enemies. That you are not at peace with God. Romans says that this were a Romans, picking up in chapter 10 and 12. It says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands and no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their way. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. He's describing the individuals that are at war with God, that are not at peace with God. And he goes on to in that passage, and the passage clearly identifies that the sin that stands between mankind and God is the culprit, is the cause of this way, of this being an enemy with God. And God says, I don't want to be an enemy with you. I want to be at peace with you. I want to be in harmony with you. I want there to be a stillness. I do not want there to be a war between you and me. I want more than that for you. I don't want to be in disharmony with you. I don't want to be in argumentative spirit with you. I don't want to be in war with you. There is no one who is not in this way. There is no one who knows the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And he goes on to develop. God shows us in the passage that sin stands between us and God. And God is going to do something with that sin that stands between me and you, or he and us, he and me, him and us. Because why? Because God wants to be at peace. He wants the peace on whom his favor rests.
And he wants to give us first and foremost the word peace. But the three pieces of peace is peace with God first. He said, no other peace is going to matter. If you don't have peace with me, no other peace will matter. Because there's no one. If misery marks their way and ruin marks their way, they do not know. The way of peace, they do not know. I need to do something. And he goes on and he develops that. He says, that's sin. Sin stands between you and God. And at the end of 4, he says this. He, Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Justification is the process by which sinful human beings are made acceptable to God. Am I tracking this morning that peace, God wants to have peace with us. And he said there's a sin issue in your life and we need to deal with the sin issue. So I'm going to send my son to this earth and he's going to die for the sins of mankind. And he's going to provide for the justification or the path so that you can step across that valley of sin and into the presence of God so you can have peace with God, so you can be in harmony with God, so there can be a stillness with God, so you can stop waging war with God. So you can have security with God, satisfaction with God, and safety with God. Jesus left the heavenlies. Jesus went. And he was born of a woman. And he came to this earth. Why? So you and I can have peace with God. He was delivered over. Then he picks it up in chapter 5. It says this. It says, Therefore, because you're all jacked up, because you don't have any peace with God, because you don't even know the way to have peace with God, because there's no fear in your heart, and because Jesus went to the cross for you, therefore, since you have been justified, or since you have been made right with God, since you have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we gain access by faith into the grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. God says, I want you to have peace with me. I want you to have peace with me. And there's sin in the way. And I sent Jesus, and Jesus came. And he did what needed to be done because Jesus is who he is. And he didn't come into this world just so he could have the human experience. When I was in college, I was 32 when I started. And somebody said, well, you're living off campus, and you're only coming in for class, and this and that and other thing. You're not really having the college experience. I said, I don't want the college experience. I want the understanding of the Word of God so that I can know where God wants me to go. Jesus did not come into this world to get a human understanding or human experience. Did he gain that? Yes. We have a high priest that knows all the ways that we've been. But he came into this world so that he could die on the cross so you and I could have peace with God. The first peace that God wants us to have of peace is peace with him. Peace with God comes through faith in Jesus. I don't know where you are this morning, and this may be a good place is to say, if you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are not at peace with God. Do not try to convince yourself that you're at peace with God. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. I am not an equal opportunist there. There's lots of religions in this world, and they all fall short when they say anything, but Jesus is the way. And I'll be very narrow-minded because Jesus is very narrow-minded. Not all paths lead to the same summit. You get on some paths, they're going to lead you over the cliff. This path will lead you to the summit. Jesus will lead you to the summit.
Come on now.
There's lots of things in this world that'll tell you, go this way, go this way, and you'll reach God, and you'll touch God. No, you won't. Jesus, you'll touch God, because Jesus came into this world so that you and I could be at peace with God, so you and I could stop raging war against God, so you and I could have this stillness with God, so that you and I could have this harmony with God, so that you and I could have this satisfaction, this safety, and this security with God. It's what He wants us to have. He wants us to have peace with God. And He said, you need peace with me. And I come and I've done all the work. You just need to let me do it in your heart. Amen. You just need to let me do it in your life. And when I do it in your life, you're going to end having havoc with me. Peace with God is the first thing that He wants us to have. And that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Again, let me say, if you don't have a faith in Jesus Christ, if you can't say this time, I remember when I was this age or this day or that day or some other day when I stepped into the very presence of God, you may want to check your step. Amen. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. Because I'm wondering if we can step into the presence of God and at least not remember the decade that it happened.
Amen.
If that's you today, don't leave here without the greatest gift that God ever wants to put into your heart, and that's at peace with Him. And that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Second, the second piece of peace is peace with self. The second piece with peace is peace with self, and He came to give us peace with Him, and He gave us come to give us peace with ourselves. Peace, again, the state of stillness, the exemption of havoc, of war, the harmony between individuals, security, safety, and satisfaction. Philippians 4 says this in verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now that peace is going down inside and it's doing something. It has given us harmony with God and a relationship with God, but now it's doing something inside of us. He said, it's going to guard you. It's going to guard you in your relationship with God, sure. But this passage says that He's going to guard your heart and your mind. It's going to do something in you. Not just between you and God, but without you and God, there is no in you and you. So when we say peace on His peace, the peace on whom His favor rests, it's peace with God, but it's also peace with self. I'm telling you why a lot of people don't have very much peace with themselves.
Come on now.
We're all jacked up on the inside. You may have a relationship with Jesus and you got no peace. You got no peace with yourself. Being at peace with God, push the button. I wrote this in big yellow letters. Being at peace with God does not automatically mean we are at peace with self. It's part of the pieces of peace. And He wants to give us the peace with self, but it's not automatic. It comes as a result. Don't try to get peace with self without peace with God. Because you're just going to be running in circles. And you're not going to know which way to go. Get peace with God in a relationship with Jesus Christ and let Him do something down inside of you. Because see, verse 7 of Philippians 4 is the ending, is the conclusion to that passage. And the peace of God will protect you. There's a process by which that peace comes alive in our lives. Am I making sense this morning? There's a process by which that peace is allowed to grow in our lives and we become at peace with self. So we back up just a few verses. Rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 4 of the same passage in Philippians. Rejoice with the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice or find your joy in God. See where we're going with this? Just let me draw the string automatically here. Verse 4 is going all the way to verse 7. And rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and the peace of God will that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind. So that's not going to guard my heart and mind if I'm not rejoicing in the Lord. So there's a process by which I become at peace with myself, just like there's a process by which I come at peace with God. Jesus left the heavenlies. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus went in the tomb. Jesus raised from the dead. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. And now He's forgiving us. In starting this relationship with Him, the process is Jesus needed to do all the work. Now, God said, now I'm going to let it into your lap. Rejoice in me. Rejoice in me. Find your joy in me. And the peace, the stillness, the security, the safety, the satisfaction will do something inside of you. But not if you don't thrive in me. Thrive and rejoices can be translated the same word. Again, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice, exclamation point. Find your joy in God. Find your joy in God. Thrive in God. Back to the Romans passage just for a second. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now what? Stand! I put you in the best ground. I put you in the best soil for you to grow. I stood you in my grace. I'm not expecting you to work for my grace. It becomes a wage, not grace. But I'm expecting that you'll thrive in that, that something will happen in that grace that I'm standing you in. I'm expecting you to take root, you to grow. The problem is some of us want to have one foot just enough for all of eternity. Just in case I die, Jesus will be here, and we want the other foot in the world so we can live like hell. And somehow we can't figure out why we don't have peace. We're lunatics. That's why we don't. Jesus said, you're never going to have peace inside of yourself. You'll have peace with me, and I'll take you home when the time comes. But there's not going to be any peace inside of you. There's not going to be any peace with yourself unless you thrive in the grace that I put you in. Am I making sense, Alex? I mean, I got up on my desk a couple times this week. I got so amped up. I understood this passage of scripture. I was like, woo! I have little pep rallies in my office all by myself. Awesome. The bills aren't winning too much, so you got to have your own pep rallies once in a while. Yeah, come on now. But it starts to make so much sense. God says, I want you to thrive in me. And I said, I don't know how to thrive in you. I don't know how to thrive in you, God. I don't know how to find my joy in you. I don't know how to rejoice in you. He said, why don't you check out Romans 5 again? He said, oh, you set me in your grace, in which I now stand. I stand in God's grace. Don't mess with me, world. I'm standing in God's grace, and I'm going to thrive in God's grace. And back to verse 7, and the peace that passes all understanding will guard my heart and mind in Jesus Christ. When I thrive in him, just like when I come to Jesus and I ask for forgiveness and I receive salvation from him, I am at peace with God. When I thrive in God, when I thrive in that grace, peace starts to come alive in myself. The passage goes on. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Your gentleness, or a word that can be translated as temperament. Let your attitude show it. We've heard, and you've heard, and I've heard, and I've said it before. If you're happy, will you please tell your face? You know, if your face doesn't know, it's happy. Right? So when you know, wait a minute, he's saying this. He said, when you're planted in my grace, and you're thriving in my grace, and I'm doing this amazing work in your life, you're going to have to let it out! Let your gentleness, let your temperament, let your attitude be evident. You start corking up God in your life, your peace is going to go out the window. God says, I want to do something in your life, and it's not only all internal. You're going to have to let me help you step through this world. Don't stop me from helping you step through this world. Because some of the things I want you to step out of are sucking your peace. They're a peace leech. They're a peace tick. And I want to step you out of those things and let us stop draining you from the peace I want to give you. So let me thrive in you. Am I making sense this morning? Let me thrive in you. God says, let me help you thrive in me. I already planted you in the best soil possible. For crying out loud, you should be able to grow. Now thrive in that. And when I start working your life, let it go. Let it go. Don't make me start singing the song. Let it go. Let me go. Let me work. Let me move you. Don't cork me up.
And when you don't cork me up, verse 7, go back to verse 7, and the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind, because you haven't put a cork in what I'm trying to do in your life. Verse 6 says this, and do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your request before God. And I don't think anybody needs to know this as new information, but just let us remind you. Let me remind you of this. Anxiousness will suck your peace dry. I've never been peacefully anxious. It's like I'm bleeding out the side peace, and anxiousness is coming in the other side. It's pushing all my peace away. And he said, what I really want you to do is just thrive in me. What I want you to do is let me move in your life. What I want you to do is let peace push out anxiousness, because you're in communication with me. Let peace push out anxiousness and take over in your life. And verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. See, it's not a multiple choice. It's not, okay, I'll take, I won't be anxious. I just won't think about anything. I won't pay attention. I won't answer the phone. I won't ever receive a call from somebody that's cranky toward me. I just won't be anxious. And somehow the peace will come in. No, the peace comes in. Let me, I don't want you to go away from here and say, hey, I have no idea what he was saying. Okay, because one thing, and you've heard me say this many, many times, I do not want to be Charlie Brown's teacher. Okay, wah, 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 wah. What is that woman saying? Peace with self, thrive in God. No thriving in God, no peace with self. Peace with self, let him work through you. Peace with self, stay in communication with God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Are we on the same page this morning? God says, I got the pieces of peace ready for you. And just so you know, I got Reese's pieces here today for you. This is my Christmas gift to you. I got enough for everybody. The guys, when you leave, I'm not going to throw them out, because I always want to like put them in an air cannon. Woo! You know. Yes. Yeah. Don't egg me on. God says, I want you to have all the pieces of peace. Because the peace rests on whom my favor rests. I want you to have peace with me. And I want you to have peace with self through thriving in me. I want you to have peace with God. Peace with yourself. Because just because you have peace with yourself, you're with God, does not mean you have peace with me. Thrive in me, and I will give you peace with self. Because that self-doubt, that self-harm that you're doing, that thinking that you're doing, it's all stinking. It's all nasty. It's all going to rob your peace. Thrive in me, and let me tell you who you are in me. Let me work in your life. Let me move you in a process. Let it happen in your life. Stay in communication with me, and watch the peace that passes all understanding guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Peace with self through thriving in God. The third piece of peace is this. The third piece of peace is peace with others. Okay, back to the definition of peace. The state of stillness, the exemption of the havoc of war. Harmony between individuals and security and safety and satisfaction. Now, I'm not making this stuff up. I didn't need 3 points to a message. I didn't try to get the Reese's pieces to fit into this message. As I studied the Word of God, these things came. And God says, I want you to have peace with me. I want you to have peace with yourself, because you can't leave yourself. And I want you to have peace with others. I want you to do something. I want you to be a part of a team. I want you to be a part of a peaceful team with others. I want you to have a stillness. Without peace with God, there is no peace with self. And without peace with self, there will be no peace with others. Okay? Do you believe me? You're jacked up with God? You're jacked up with self? Oh, I'm just going to get along with my family. No, you ain't. Because you're not that nice, and neither are they. With peace with God and with peace with self means that peace with others is possible, but again, it's not automatic. I just got to know I'm making, there's a process by getting peace with God, and Jesus did all the work. Now there's a process by getting peace with self, and that's up to you and God. And now there's a process by getting peace with others. But God says, I come so that you can have all the peace that I have for you. I want all the pieces of the peace that I want for you. So this, let me go to Colossians 3. Just a few moments this morning. I'm on the last page of my notes. Colossians 3, verse 11 says, here there is no Greek or Jew or circumcised or uncircumcised or a barbarian or Scythian. You know what a Scythian is? Anybody know what a Scythian is? It's one step worse than a barbarian. Okay? It makes barbarians look like Girl Scouts. Okay? These dudes are mean. Okay? So a barbarian or Scythian or slave or free, but Christ is all and he is in all. Therefore, do something with that. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion. That's part of what God wants to do in thriving with you and helping you step. He said, you got pretty stinky clothes on. Let me redress you as we go. You need some more compassion. That's just the way I am. I'm judgmental. I'm short-tempered. I'm this and that. If that's the way you are, you need to spend some more time with God, because that's not the way he created you to be. That's sin doing that in your life. Amen. Don't start identifying things in your life that are sin and saying they're mine. They ain't yours. And God says, I can tell you what yours is, compassion. I want to dress you in compassion. I want to dress you in clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Okay, and I know we could go into this for another couple hours. It's really exciting of what God wants to do there. But it's the process by which he's going to, and we're coming down to the end verse of this passage, and he says, you're going to let the peace of Christ rule among you. There's going to be a peace among you. But I'm telling us right now, if we're dressed in meanness and malice and judgmental spirit and attitude and all that, and you step into a group of people dressed in the same attire, it ain't going to finish well. But I'm telling us, when we step into a group of people, no matter how they're dressed, with compassion and kindness and love and gentleness, the situation's going to get altered. Therefore, verse 13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. So just remind yourself that God has forgiven you. It's part of the thing. Forgiveness, we know that. Some of us are working through forgiveness in our life. And it's not a switch. Sometimes it's a dimmer. It's a rheostat. God said, I'm thriving in you. I'm going to forgive. He said, I know, we're working on that. We'll get there. I'm going to bring you. I'm going to take you along the wrong way for a while. And I'm just going to work that. But then when I work it in your heart, then do it. Forgive with each other. Forgive, because unforgiveness is going to jack you up and jack up the environment. Verse 14 says this, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. It's like the parka that you put on. If somebody tears through your love, they rip off your jacket, you know what they should find? Forgiveness. They rip off your forgiveness, you know what they should find? Compassion and kindness and gentleness. What is wrong with this guy? I ain't tearing him apart. All I find is this stuff. I want to find anger, because I know how to fight when you're angry. And verse 14 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your what? Hearts. And I'm telling you, as a body, he said, let peace rule among you. The third piece of peace is peace between brothers and sisters, and peace being the church. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Because you need peace with each other. Let me say, in Hebrews it says it this way. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see God. That's a great verse. Okay, now we're going to run it backwards, just for my own sake, because I yammer. He said, now let the peace Make every effort to live at peace with all men and be holy, or let God do a work in you, because without holiness, without God doing a work in you, you're never going to be at peace with God. So just so we know that the peace with God is necessary, and peace with self is necessary, and peace with others is necessary, but without peace with others is going to mess up our peace with God and self. Make every effort to live at peace with all men. Push the button, please. Peace with others through empowered efforts. You got me this morning? The peace that passes all understanding. The peace. The angels proclaim peace on the earth on whom his favor rests. Peace with God. Peace with self. Peace with others. The totality of peace that God wants to bring into our life. Peace with God through faith in Jesus, Romans 5. Just so you know, that's the little tag that I staple to each one of these candies. This peace with God through faith in Jesus, Romans 5. Peace with self through thriving in God, Philippians 4. Peace with others through empowered efforts, Colossians 3. I got to say it one more time. For you and I to have peace with God took great effort on Jesus' part. Why do we think we would have peace with self or peace with others with no effort and no obedience? It took 100% obedience from Jesus to get peace with God. It's going to take 100% obedience for you to be at peace with yourself and peace with others. But hang on, when there's peace with God, peace with self, and peace with others, because I'm building my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Peace with God through faith. This is the candy. Yeah, that's good. If I could reprint this is what it would look. Push the button. Peace stuffed with pieces. Peace stuffed with pieces. I'm just going to give. I want you to go out near the door. Anybody I give this to, I want you to go near the door so people can get them when they leave. All right? I want you to have Merry Christmas from Cheryl and I. Cheryl and I spent a couple hours yesterday afternoon putting this together. It's our Christmas gift to you. It's just something. We're re-gifting what God's given us. We're 100% re-gifters. But I'm telling us right now, God wants us to have peace. God wants us to have peace with him, peace with self, and peace with others. Stand with me, will you? God, I thank you that we can have the gift of peace. And I find it interesting that the heavenly host joined the angels. They cranked it to the hilt. And the thing that they proclaim that there's going to be peace on earth on whom his favor rests. Father, I pray that as we come into peace with you through a relationship with Jesus, as we come at peace with self, as we thrive in you, and as we come at peace with others, as we make those empowered, not just efforts, but empowered efforts, that we will watch you do the miraculous. And the pieces of the peace will be realized in our lives. We will no longer be satisfied with just a peace with you, God. But we will long and strive for the peace with self and the peace with others. And then we'll watch the relationship with you grow as well. That's awesome, God. You're an awesome God. And I thank you for this day. I thank you for your message. And it's in the name of Jesus, I say amen and amen and amen. Have a good day. Please do not leave here without one of those candies.